Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Bob. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
First up today, we're getting into the holiday spirit by giving away a free episode, The Pilot Part 1. And knowing how things work, I'm guessing we'll be giving away Part 2 in the near future.
It just seems fair. Well, Jess, this episode actually kicks off an exciting new journey for us, the Odyssey Adventure Club.
And later, we'll be talking to Focus on the Family Vice President Jim Moon. He came up with the idea for the club.
And Brock Eastman's going to join us, too. He has a new job with the club, and he's going to tell us about it.
Sounds great. And now, let's hear The Pilot.
Previously on Adventures in Odyssey.
Connie?
Hi. It hurts, Penny. Losing my mom really hurts.
Come downstairs, Connie. Your friends want to show you they love you. Oh, and there's a guy I've never seen before looking for you. He said his name is Jeff Lewis.
Really?
Who is he?
He was my first love.
I heard about your mom and thought I'd come to pay my respects. I'd love to have coffee or a meal with you sometime, when it's appropriate.
Can you give me a teaser?
Well, I became a Christian, in part because of you. And now I'm a pilot for a missionary organization that flies into troubled areas around the world.
That works. Until then.
I'll be praying for you, Connie.
Thanks, Jeff. Oh, Jeff, sorry I'm late.
No worries, Connie. I already got you a Wadfam chalk sod.
You did?
I assume you still like those. It's been a while.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
Are you okay?
Fine. Actually, I just had a breakdown at the home improvement store. But other than that, I'm completely fine.
A breakdown?
Over paint samples. Look, which of these do you like best? Buttercream frosting, daisy petal, or afternoon sun?
They all look yellow.
Well, they are yellow, but I need the right yellow. See, my roommate Penny and I, we moved into my mom's house. Eugene and Wooten were helping me, and we were going to pick out a new fridge and paint the walls. And I had all these plans for what I would change. And I couldn't do it. My mom didn't like yellow.
But she doesn't live there anymore. You do.
But it feels disrespectful somehow. Like, I don't care about what she thought. Like, she doesn't matter.
I know. You think it's too soon after she died.
Oh, Jeff, I'm sorry. I didn't come here to talk about me or my mom. I want to find out about you. The missionary pilot thing you're doing.
It's okay, really. If you need to talk.
No, please. Tell me everything from the beginning.
Okay. Well, you may remember that I've always wanted to be a commercial pilot.
Uh-huh. And it's been your dream since you were little, right?
Well, that dream stuck. So I got my private pilot's license and a degree in aviation. And I was working on the 3,000 flight hours I needed to qualify for a job with a major airline. But then my friend, who'd been letting me borrow his plane, had to sell it when I was down to my last 300 hours.
And it's not like people have planes sitting around waiting for you to borrow.
Well, that's what I thought, until Dr. Graham came to see me.
Lily Graham? She was my mom's doctor.
Well, if you know her, then you know how persuasive she can be.
Yeah.
You need more flight hours, Jeff. And our medical missions team needs a pilot.
Except you want me to fly into the jungles of South America. That's not exactly the same as flying in and out of Odyssey Airport.
Look, you were number one in your class at flight school. And you said yourself you've been trained on short runways.
Well, yes, but that doesn't mean I can land in a jungle. Seriously, Dr. Graham, you should ask someone else.
There is no one else. Our usual pilot broke his leg yesterday, and he won't be able to make the flight. We really can't wait until he's recovered. Or should I say the people in the villages can't wait? And I've checked around. I don't have any other options.
But I've never done anything like this before.
As if that ever stopped you.
And frankly, I'm looking for a career with the commercial airlines, not Puddle Jumpers Incorporated. I'm sorry, Dr. Graham.
Jeff, you don't think the commercial airlines look at the kinds of flight hours you have? I mean, won't they be impressed with diverse experience?
Well...
And all you'd be doing is flying me, my nurse Ava, and our medical supplies. I know the people and the area. It's perfectly safe. You get what you need, and I get what I need. And Oh, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, this one time.
That's all I ask.
Well, why were you so adamant about not going? Were you afraid?
No, to be honest, it's because I was hoping a regional airline or commuter company might give me a chance. That's part of the strategy to get a foot in the door to the big commercial companies. Mm. And if I left the country to help Dr. Graham, I might miss the opportunity.
What?
I think someone's watching us.
Where?
Through the front window, behind the potted plant.
Oh, that's Wooten.
Why is he hiding? Isn't he allowed in Wits End?
Oh, well, no, that's just his way of being discreet. He's checking up on me because of the bacon incident.
The bacon incident?
Yeah, we were looking at new refrigerators because my mom's is so old. And, well, household appliances can carry more emotion than you'd expect. You wouldn't believe the memories a meat drawer can hold.
I never thought about it.
Well, ours always smelled like bacon. I loved having it for breakfast. But when I opened the refrigerators in the appliance section, they just smelled like plastic. So I burst into tears. It was so embarrassing, crying about bacon of all things.
It's understandable, though. Maybe you should tell Wooten to come in. He looks pretty concerned.
Oh. Wooten, come in!
That did it.
The funny thing is, Mom didn't even like bacon. But she always kept some tucked away in the meat drawer just in case I stopped by. I found her grocery list after she died. It was there. Bacon for Connie, it said.
Hi, Connie. I was just sort of walking by with this box of tissues. Do you maybe need one?
Yes, thank you, Wooten. Mm-hmm. Oh, Wooten, have you met Jeff?
Oh, hi, Jeff. Yeah, we met at the wake, you know, between the carrot cake and the bowl of mints.
Nice to see you again.
You too.
Jeff was just telling me about his adventures as a pilot.
Oh, I love adventures about pilots. Is there romance, too? Because I really love adventures with pilots and romance. And spies in the French Resistance. But I'll take the romance over the French Resistance if I have to make a choice.
Well, I do fall in love in the story.
You do?
Woohoo! Okay, Jeff, let's do this.
Sure, Wooten. Why don't you join us?
Okay, pass the bowl of pretzels, please.
Here.
So, Dr. Graham, Ava Parker, and I were flying into a small village in Venezuela.
I'm already excited.
Isn't it beautiful, Jeff? You can see the waterfall over there, and look at those magnificent trees.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing, Ava?
I can't look now. I think I'm getting airsick.
I'm holding it as steady as I can.
Oh, I'd love to get my own pilot's license one day.
The sooner the better, I think.
Oh, there's the village. They always come running when they hear the plane. They're waving. Ava, wave.
I'm still trying to get my lunch below my neck.
Now, where do we land?
Okay, Jeff, the strip is right over there. You see it? Along the lake.
What? There? The FAA requires a 2,600-foot landing strip minimum for this plane.
Well, then it's a good thing the FAA doesn't have jurisdiction down here.
That's not the point.
Sorry. It's our only option.
Maybe if we went further inland.
Right, and spend hours trying to get back by foot? Relax, we've landed here dozens of times.
I've never done this with passengers, not on such a short strip. More weight means we need more runway space.
Hey, I'm okay with the risk. What about you, Ava?
Anything, just get me on a stable ground. Oh,
have faith in your skills, Jeff. I do.
All right. Hang on. Let me gear down. Altitude checked. No tower to call into. Here we go!
Tree!
I see it. Brace yourselves. And we're...
Oh, down!
Now if we can just stop it. Come on, slow down. We're running out of strip.
Put on the brakes! No!
We're gonna hit the lake!
No, we aren't!
Well, look at that. We made it.
I never doubted you for a minute.
And here come the villagers.
We better go greet them.
Hola, hola, Dr. Lily. Dr. Lily.
Oh, Francesca, good to see you.
Dr. Lily, good of you to come.
Francesca's the only villager who speaks English. So what are we dealing with this time, Francesca?
Much sickness, many babies.
Oh, Do you have a hut where we can set up?
Oh, yes. Special place for you. You will see.
Ava, if you'll grab our medical bags.
I think I left my stomach at the other end of the runway.
What can I do?
You can carry Ava while she carries the bags.
Is amazing. You built this for us, Francesca?
Hospital.
Hospital? Adobe brick and a dirt floor? Is that sanitary?
This isn't the Mayo Clinic.
Last time we were here, Francesca moved out of her hut so we could use it.
This is perfect, Francesca. Thank you so much.
People are waiting. Sick babies.
Okay, Ava, you should go out and start the triage.
Okay. Looks like there are more patients than usual.
Anything I can do?
You could help Ava.
I don't know anything about
just
talking
about. Just write down the names of the patients, and if you can understand any Spanish, write down their symptoms too.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
So you went all the way to South America to play receptionist?
It's called triage, and it's not really like a receptionist. You have to be able to understand people's medical problems.
Oh, usted sabe español?
What?
¿Qué?
He asked if you know Spanish.
Obviously not.
Jeff was thrown out of Spanish class for calling the teacher a cochino instead of a cocinera.
Oh, a dirty pig instead of a chef. Easy mistake. Don't be too hard on yourself, Jeff.
She had brought in some homemade sopapillas that day, and never mind.
I hope things went better for you at the clinic.
Well...
Mano. Mi mano.
Mano, you say. Like mononucleosis?
No. Mano. Mi mano.
Oh, your hand. Mano, got it. Good to know. And next, por favor.
Hola. Ayúdame, por favor. Ayúdame.
Your name? Tu nombre?
Maya.
Tu problema?
Ay, necesito medicina.
You need medicine.
Sí.
Por tu?
No, no. Yo tengo medicina para mí, no.
You have medicine for you.
Sí.
Okay, then why do you need medicine?
Ay, para bebé.
Oh, you have a baby.
Sí.
I didn't even see her there all wrapped up.
Está enferma.
Enferma?
Sí.
She is sick.
Sí, sí.
Dr. Graham wants to see the babies as a priority. Rápido, por favor.
Ay, muchas gracias.
You didn't say this was an airplane romance and sick baby adventure. I don't like sick baby stories.
Neither do I, but we had to deal with them.
Ava, we have to set up the respirator right away.
Okay.
Jeff, hold the baby, please.
But...
Here.
Hi there, little girl. Or boy. I guess the blue tint to his skin isn't normal.
It's a girl, and no, it's not. Nor should her eyes be rolled back in her head.
¿Estará bien?
Haremos todo lo posible. We'll do everything we can. Sit down. Please, sit down.
Jeff, lie the baby down here.
Oh, she's completely listless.
Dr. Graham, there is a long line of people. Maya? ¿Qué? Graciana, ¿qué tiene de malo?
Francesca, we're trying to figure out what's wrong. We don't know yet.
Wait, you know Maya?
Yeah, she's my sister. The baby, Graciana, is my niece.
Okay, sit with Maya while we give the baby some oxygen.
Maya, ¿dónde está Alberto?
Está esperando afuera.
Alberto, my nephew, is waiting outside. He's worried about his little sister. Should I bring him in?
No, not until I figure this out. Ava, hand me my stethoscope.
Here.
Should I find her husband? Where are all the men in this village anyway?
They're all away working. A 2 days walk.
Oh. Then I'll go outside and stay with Alberto.
Thank you, Jeff.
Will the baby be all right?
We're doing our best.
Hola. You must be Alberto.
Sí. Hola.
I'm Jeff.
You? Fly plane.
Sí. You know English?
Un poco. A little. My tía Francesca.
So, your Aunt Francesca taught you some English. And what's that? A rattle for the baby?
Music.
Oh, music. Looks like you made an instrument. Can I see it?
Sí.
Gracias. What's this? A butter container with what? Rocks inside?
Maraca.
Sí, maraca. You're a very clever boy to make this. You know, we could make more instruments.
¿Qué?
A drum. We could make,
Tambor.
Yes, tambor. Maybe we could use the boxes we brought. They're behind the clinic. Conmigo!
So now you're a pilot, triage person, babysitter.
Oh, and drum maker.
Yeah, Alberto was a cute kid and incredibly resourceful for an 8-year-old.
So what happened with the baby?
Well, after Alberto and I made drums, castanets, and a guitar that looked more like a petrified goose, I went back to the clinic. Is Graciana getting better?
She's stable. Her breathing has improved and her oxygen levels are closer to normal, but I don't understand it. I mean, the symptoms point to pneumonia, but her lungs are mostly clear and she doesn't have a fever.
With so many babies suffering from the same thing, could it be a virus of some sort?
I don't think so, but I just don't know. Ava, I'll check Graciana's vitals again. Why don't you go out and update Maya?
All right.
What did the sick people here do before you started coming, Dr. Graham?
Well, they may do on their own. The sad thing is, many of their common ailments, malaria, tuberculosis, dysentery, have fairly simple and inexpensive cures, but they just don't have access to treatments.
So what happens?
Many of them die.
Then it's a good thing you come here. How did you find out about this place?
10 years ago, a friend of mine came here almost by accident. He saw the need and suggested I come down to help. Well, actually, he cornered me into coming.
Like you cornered me?
Pretty much. Except my argument was that it didn't fit into my plans as a doctor. I've been coming back ever since.
How often do you fly down here?
2, maybe 3 times a year. I trade off with a handful of other doctors in Odyssey and Connellsville. We're trying to organize a network, connecting doctors to places in need. I'm going to have to monitor Graciana overnight.
You'll sleep here?
Mm-hmm. I brought a cot.
What would they do without you?
You know, Jeff, that's not the question I wonder about anymore.
No?
No. I wonder what I'd do without them.
Perdón. Graciana está mejorando?
Yes, Graciana is better. Maya, are you all right? You look faint.
Uy, estoy mareada.
She says she's dizzy. Here, siéntate. Sit down. Agua.
What's wrong with her?
She's exhausted.
Oh, muchas gracias, doctor. Y tú, Jeff?
Me? Oh, you mean for keeping Alberto company. No problema. It was fun.
Gracias.
Maya, you look unwell. You need rest. Jeff, would you walk Maya back to her hut, see if you can find something for her to eat?
Sure. Do you need anything else tonight?
No, thanks. Ava will help me finish up.
I'll help you, Maya. Vámonos.
Gracias.
You know where you're staying tonight, Jeff?
The Four Seasons, room 106.
Mm-hmm. Or the hut next door.
That works, too.
Jeff, I thought you said there was romance in this adventure. Oh, wait. I know. It's Maya, isn't it? The damsel in distress. A moonlit walk on a warm, star-studded evening.
It couldn't be Maya. Mm-hmm. She's obviously already married. She's got 2 kids.
Actually, her husband died some time ago of typhoid.
Well, anyway, she's older than you.
No, same age.
But you speak different languages.
The language of love crosses all borders. I read that in a Mexican fortune cookie.
You did not.
Don't spoil the moment.
So, anyway, I fell asleep on a makeshift hammock in my own personal mosquito net, and, well, the next morning...
Jeff, glad you're here.
What's wrong, Dr. Graham?
We had 3 more babies come in last night. Same symptoms as Graciana. Difficulty breathing, pulse rates in the 30s, O2 levels in the low 80s.
What's that mean?
It means they're not getting enough oxygen. Maybe it's inflamed lungs, infection. I'm not sure. The good news is that they're showing slight improvement here at the clinic, but it is not enough.
What do you need me to do?
Well, I've asked David to look around the village, and I would like you
Hola,
to...
Hola, doctor.
Francesca, good morning.
Has my sister come yet?
No.
That's strange. I thought she would come for Graciana.
She was exhausted when I took her back to her hut last night.
Francesca, is there anything you could think of that the babies share? Something they play with or wear or anything they all might be fed?
Well, we take good care of our babies. They get good water, kept warm. We even use a warming hut in the cool months.
One of the cool months. We should have come then.
We are in the cool months.
Okay, what is a warming hut?
a hot wood fire in the middle. We warm babies there.
Okay, Jeff, find Ava and see what you can learn about this warming hut. Francesca, you'll take them?
Oh, sí, yes, claro. Pasen por aquí, vengan, síganme.
Whoa, this place is like a sauna.
Lots of windows, so there's good airflow.
It's empty now, but babies like it. Sleep peaceful here.
And it doesn't even seem smoky.
It smells good, too. Like, what is that, vanilla?
We burn plants to give a nice scent. Soothes the babies.
It is kind of soothing.
What kind of plants?
Many different ones. The children pick them by the river.
It has a strong effect. I'm feeling a little woozy. Must be the heat.
Yes, it seems. Oh.
What's wrong?
We have to get out of here. Right now.
It was something she saw that made her...
I know! She saw a reticulated python, or maybe a blue poison dart frog, or one of those 3D pictures at the mall where you have to scrunch up your eyes real tight.
Close. Huh? She saw a flower.
Oh.
It wasn't just any flower.
Okay, just start over, Ava. What did you see?
A large white flower in with the plants being burned. It looked like it might be Brugmansia, which is highly toxic. If the babies were breathing in the pollen from those plants...
Then they've been poisoning the babies.
Yes, poisoning?
Oh, we'll have to find the source to make sure. Have you always used those plants in the warming hut, Francesca?
Well, the warming hut is new. The doctor said to use the plants.
Okay, wait. What doctor?
The other doctor who sometimes comes.
Has he been treating the other villagers?
Last time... Maya.
Maya, who looked very sick last night. Okay, Ava, stay here with the babies. Francesca, go down to the river and get me some of those flowers. And Jeff, take me to Maya's hut.
Aye, aye. Maya's hut is right here.
Jeff! Doctor!
Hola, Alberto.
Banda! Una banda!
Oh, I see. You and your friends made a band.
Alberto, ¿dónde está tu mamá?
Mi mamá está en casa. Dormida.
She's sleeping?
Look, Jeff. Maraca. Drum. Guitar. Castanet.
Wow. Be in. That's great.
Alberto, take me to your mother.
Sí. Mama. Mama. Despierta. Mama?
Is that blood?
Step aside. Let me see
mama.
Her. Maya. Unconscious. Bleeding out of the mouth and nose, pulse is weak but rapid.
What do you think it is?
It could be any number of things. Ebola, hantavirus, exposure to poison. It's impossible to say without tests, and we don't have the lab equipment for that.
Could it be from the warming hut? She probably went in there with the baby.
No different symptoms. Her body is shutting down. Are you able to carry her to the clinic, Jeff?
Sure, of course.
I can give her an epinephrine injection for the anaphylaxis. That will reduce the constriction in her throat.
Will that save her?
It will ease her suffering.
What are you saying?
She's dying, Jeff. And I don't know what we can do.
Whoa. There's a cliffhanger for you. We're not going to leave our listeners there, are we?
No, not forever, Jess, but for a couple of weeks. Be sure to listen to our next podcast to hear the conclusion.
Or if you can't wait until next time, you can download this episode and all of Album 57 right now at our website, witsend.org.
Now, you may not know this, but the title of this show, The Pilot, isn't just because of the airplanes in the episode. So the first episode of a new series is usually called a pilot.
Oh, that's true.
Well, and today's show is really the first of a new kind of Adventures in Odyssey show. In a way, it's the kickoff of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
We've been hearing a lot about the club lately. Members will get access to exclusive episodes, video documentaries, and web quests, which are special ways to explore the true stories that inspired the episodes. And now it's time to hear from some of the guys behind the club.
We recently brought Focus Vice President Jim Moon and Odyssey Adventure Club producer Brock Eastman into the studio to tell us what's going on.
Let's hear what they had to say. Well, we're excited to have our guests in studio this week. We have Jim Moon and Brock Eastman. So welcome, guys.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, Jesse and Bob. How are you guys doing?
Well, Jim, We're glad to have you on the podcast, I think, for the first time, but you have a very important role here at Focus. So tell us what your title is and what a typical day looks like for you.
Well, Jesse, I'm the Vice President of Content Development here at Focus on the Family, which makes me your boss.
That is true, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, this isn't your first time with Focus. Actually, you worked in other departments years ago. Tell us a little bit about that.
I have a long history at Focus on the Family. I started way back in 1989 in human resources. And got the chance to interview and hire a lot of people here at Focus on the Family. And then wound up recruiting myself into a job with the film production team here at Focus, where I worked for a number of years. So I've worked my way up through the various media groups here at Focus on the Family, including film production, book publishing, web development, and even magazines.
And what led to the current position?
Well, I actually left for a while. I went and worked for some relief and development organizations in Seattle, Washington, and had the chance to work with people who were serving the poor and oppressed in our world in the name of Christ and providing relief and opportunity for them. And that I did that for about 7 years. And then I was asked to come back and run the content development team here, and I really felt God was calling me to do that. So here I am back.
Now, Brock, you're no stranger to Odyssey fans. You used to be in the Adventures in Odyssey marketing side, but now you're working with the Odyssey Adventure Club. So when did that transition happen for you?
Well, it just happened this spring, and I was pretty excited about it. It's a really cool opportunity to be a little more involved in Adventures in Odyssey than I have in the past. And when Jim and Dave started talking about this Odyssey Adventure Club back in, November, I think, of 2012, kind of hearing the rumblings of it, what was this going to be? And honestly, at that point, I'd moved out of Adventures in Odyssey marketing and into digital marketing, and I kind of missed Adventures in Odyssey a little bit. So this seemed like a good opportunity to get back involved. And when I talked to them and they invited me to come along, well, it was quite an honor, and we've been going full speed ahead ever since.
Yeah, full speed. It's like 100 miles an hour or more.
I think so, yeah.
Well, crazy. Brock, you mentioned 2012 that you had kind of heard about this Adventure Club idea. How long has it been around, and how did it get to where it is now?
Well, the guy sitting next to me, Jim Moon, when he came back, I think this was one of the first ideas you really wanted to get off the ground, wasn't it? One of the ones that was really behind starting here?
Yeah, this idea has been bubbling around for probably well over 3 years now. And it came out of one of the great privileges of my positions over the years, and in particular the ones when I was working in the world of relief and development, are the people that I got to meet. And some of them are incredibly impressive. They live very interesting lives. And what I discovered is the people who were the most interesting, that had the most interesting stories, weren't doing things to create great wealth for themselves. They were people who were serving others, and often in exotic locations. And so we had the chance to meet some folks that I like to think of them as pouring their lives out for others, and oftentimes at great personal sacrifice. But when you meet them, you actually see God embodied in their lifestyle. You begin to catch a glimpse of who God meant us to be. And they impressed me a great deal. And in fact, they inspired me to think about even what I do in terms of my calling and what I and my life's leading. And so the idea came from wanting to tell their stories, because I believe that when we look at their stories, it's an opportunity for us to, one, to get involved. That's what God has called us to do. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. What better way to do that than to get out and explore the poor and oppressed in our world, people who have needs that are significantly beyond anything that we oftentimes can imagine. And when we understand their plight and get involved in helping solve and bring relief, and even if it's just prayer support, I believe that we draw closer to God as a result of that. So the people that we encountered and the opportunity to tell their story was what the catalyst of the Odyssey Club was.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, the club that launches in January, how close does that look to your original idea, Jim? And how has it morphed, I guess, over the last year or so?
Well, you have an idea, but then it's got to be creatively implemented through people like Brock and you and Dave Arnold and Paul McCusker and even the actors, the Adventures in Odyssey actors. And so one of the things I've learned being the boss is that you have to appreciate and respect the great creative talent of the people around you. So the people who work for me are way more talented and more creative than I am. So you have to, first off, you understand that, then you have the chance to leverage that to its full extent. So you say to Dave, here's what we want to create. Dave, go make this idea even better. So I would say the idea has improved over time, but the basic essence of it, to go out and explore stories of people like Dr. Val Sheen in Uganda.
Yeah.
Tell her story. Both in a drama and a regular Adventures in Odyssey drama with all of its hijinks and fun and interesting, the way the Odyssey's been doing it for years, but also to tell the true story parallel to it in a video episode. That was all part of the original concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is we know that we're going to take our listeners to exotic locations around the world. It would be good to encourage people to explore those places. And that's where the WebQuest components came into. So where is Uganda? Where's Karamoja? Mm-hmm. What do kids in Karamoja do on a daily basis? And what do they eat? Where do they sleep? Where do they go to school? That's all part of the Odyssey Club in its original concept.
It's interesting that it was not originally called the Odyssey Adventure Club. Some people coming off of the ACTS contest, Jim, are going to think, wow, that's natural. We're talking about something about service, and we just got done doing a contest about service. Actually, the tie is a little less coincidental than that, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, here's what happened with ACTS. So ACTS is A-C-T-S, a call to serve. It's an acronym. But when you say axe, it sounds like axe, the hatchet that you cut
like
wood with.
Oh, like chopping something.
So no, we thought, well, nobody's going to want to join the axe club. And so we actually reverted back to the Odyssey Adventure Club. But honestly, I think it's okay. First of all, the tie into Adventures in Odyssey is a critical component to this program. But the other is it is part of that life adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to the people that I've met who live these crazy lifestyles, they're on a grand adventure that's well beyond those that I know who are actually pursuing career and other things here, oftentimes for selfish reasons. People who pour themselves out for others live the most interesting lives possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brock, maybe this question's for you, but what's been the biggest challenge in actually creating the club and getting it off the ground like it will be launching, you know, next month?
Well, this is a big undertaking for us, and it comes with a whole brand new website that's integrated, has membership, and so people are signing up for a monthly membership to this club, and everything's behind this sort of wall once you become a member. So building the website aspect has really been one of the largest undertakings we've done in a very short amount of time. So getting the site really undergoing in April and having it launched by January is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So we've been going really hard and heavy. At the same time, the content team has been working on the content that we're going to be putting on the site. We've been collecting all 726 episodes, getting them ready to be on the content on the website, and working with you on Clubhouse Magazine to get some cool articles to start coming out, and the marketing side, kind of making the awareness of the whole project. So it's been a big undertaking. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm glad we had summer to do it. So,
one unique feature of the club is that we're giving away a percentage of membership fees to these partner organizations, such as you mentioned, Jim. Why is this so important?
It's part of how the agencies and the stories that we're sharing are run by people who require resources to do the work that they do. And I'll give you an example. Going back to the Dr. Val story in Uganda, we actually visited one of the peace villages. So when you hear the story, you'll know what the peace village is. But these are villages that have been established in an area that used to be a no man's land due to all the conflict. So for 20 years, nobody lived there. So here's this community of people who are resettling the area, and they don't have a water well. They actually have to travel. It's almost 2 miles each way to collect fresh water to use for washing.
Wow.
And for drinking, et cetera. Well, water, I think, weighs something like 8 pounds per gallon.
Oh, yeah, it's heavy. Yeah.
And so you know, go and get 5 gallons of water and carry it 2 miles in heat and over a trail, et cetera. You realize just how difficult their life is. What they need is a water well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if the Adventures in Odyssey Club, the Odyssey Adventure Club, could actually help them drill a well so they had fresh, clean water right there in their village? Well, that would make a huge transformation, a huge difference to the people who live in that community, and we can do it. Well, guess what we're doing when we do that? We're expressing the love of God to other people who have a need.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect of it is that we get to do that together as a community. So you could go out and work on projects on your own, and Jesse, you could do it on your own, but we can join the club and do these together. I think that's a big part of what we're hoping to do is foster a community and a group of people. We're all Odyssey fans. We love Adventures in Odyssey, but we also love God and we love our fellow man. Let's go out and do things together to better others. Well, money's part of that.
And I think it's very natural for people to say, mm-hmm. It sounds like a monthly commitment that we weren't used to making as part of Odyssey. Everything was on the front end of the wall that Brock described. But that's exactly why we need to do it the way we're doing it, is because these things do cost money and it's got to come from somewhere. So we give people an opportunity to partner with us.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, first of all, it does cost money for us to create Adventures in Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And so people like Brock need to be paid and raise a family. And he does. And I think that he's doing a great job and he's well worth his pay. So that's one aspect, is we've got to actually support the club and all that's going into it, because we are creating brand new original episodes, building the website. There's a lot of expense involved in that. But the better part of that, the more important part for me personally in terms of the passion, is we get to take a piece of that, just like it's a real club. That's what a club would do, right? Is mm-hmm. we would pool our funds, and we would take those funds and we would give them to, in order to fulfill the mission of what we established the club to do. Well, the Odyssey Adventure Club is about being aware of people in our world who have greater needs than we do, and investing in and in helping them better their lifestyle, and in the name of Christ. That's the Odyssey Adventure Club.
And can I mention that, you know, one thing about the, I'm a big Odyssey fan. I've loved Adventures in Odyssey all my life, grew up on the show, and starting about the club, I was really excited about the aspect of the new shows and new content. But it was when you came back from Uganda and you showed us those pictures of those kids in those tribes that I just remember the tears coming to my eyes. And there's a little girl in the picture that's no older than my second child, my second oldest. She's 2.5, carrying a baby on her back, which is, I have a newborn now. And it just hit me. It's such a hard, just to see these kids out there taking care of their family as their mom and dad are out in the fields trying to survive, just trying to work in the fields to bring home food or bring home things they can sell. And the kids are taking care of each other. And just the pictures of these communities that I wish I could go see and just go hug every one of these kids and build them that well. And I think that's what really got me most excited about that club, that moment when you shared the story about Dr. Val, but then when you showed us these pictures and these video, and I realized here's what the club can do and here's what it can be. And that really brought it home for me, I think, and really got me motivated about what the club is.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, we always like sneak previews. Brock, you love giving clues about upcoming episodes historically.
That's true.
Sometimes had a little tension there, but we're going to give you an opportunity to do that now. What's happening in a few of the upcoming OAC stories? Give us some titles.
Oh, we've got some exciting stuff. We're going to go to other places around the world, like Africa, with two-parters, the Launch Part 1 and 2 and Mission Unaccomplished Part 1 and 2. So that's kind of exciting. But we're also going to have some stories right in the town of Odyssey, and we're going to see Drake the Cosmic Copper, which is a new comic by Wooten. So we're excited to hear that story.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a nice old Western setting one, which I won't say the title of that one yet. And then also one where we hear Jay do a rap or a jingle for a commercial. So that's kind of exciting. There's a lot of fun stuff coming, though, I will say. And we have a lot of great video documentaries backing up the stories we're doing, too. So.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit about where we're going to be going with the club, and especially some of the impact we're going to be having.
Yeah.
Won't it be fun to come back and loop back around and talk about what the Odyssey Adventure Club was able to accomplish result of the partnership? I can't wait for that. I'd like to say I wish we could fast forward in time to see how we did.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, we will come back for sure.
Super. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
The Odyssey Adventure Club launches in January, but you can find out more about it now by signing up for free updates on our website.
While you're there, you can also check out Album 57, A Call to Something More.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Don't miss our next episode when we'll hear the conclusion of The Pilot and hear more about the Odyssey Adventure Club.
Be sure to visit our website at witsend.org, or if you want to talk to someone about the Odyssey Adventure Club in person, give us a call. It's 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.